called Emancipation. It's in Washington, D.C., and it was built by former slaves thankful for Abraham Lincoln ordering the emancipation. So they're destroying the very history. Now, part of what we should do as parents is teach our children. You ought to know what your kids are being taught in school. You ought to be aware of it. And to teach them to love their own country. This is a wonderful country. There's no country like America. I ask people once in a while that tell me they don't like America, where would you like to live? What nation on earth would you like to be at? Now, are we a perfect country? No, of course not. But they're ignoring a lot of progress. I'm 72 years old now. To be honest, I thought it would take a lot longer to get this old. But here I am. But I've seen a lot of progress, haven't you? I mean, I can remember the segregation in the South. I can remember when the schools were integrated for the first time. I can remember some of those things. Now, today, my wife taught in a Christian school, first grade. Kids that came together, black, white, didn't matter. They didn't care about color. And it didn't matter to them at all. Hatred is taught, but so is a love for country taught. And we need to teach our children to appreciate America and the freedom that we have. And then we ought to strive to make it a better country. When we say the Pledge of Allegiance, we pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible with what? Liberty and justice for all. That's an important concept, very important. Well, if COVID wasn't enough and the riots weren't enough, we also had Western wildfires. These are spreading like crazy. It now has burned 32 million acres in the West, California and elsewhere. Then there's the hurricanes. My daughter, one of my daughters lives in Houston. They're bracing for Beta. We've already run out of the English alphabet, and we're in the Greek alphabet with the names of these tornadoes. And we're getting hit one after another. Then we have an election coming up. Now, aren't you glad you came to church to review the year? Like, be reminded of all that's happening, what's going on. Vice President Trump said, "We're in a battle for the soul of the nation." I agree with him 100% on that. This is a very, very important election. And you ought to be informed on the issues. You ought to vote according to your conscience. I think it's a very, very... We're going to go in one of two radically different directions, depending on who's elected president. It's likely that a lot of issues will be settled by the Supreme Court. Now, the way our law works... Our Constitution works. The president is elected not by popular vote, but by the states through the Electoral College. Each state is assigned a certain number of electors based on the number we have in the House of Representatives and two senators. The number of the representatives we have is based on the census. That's why we're taking a census. Every 10 years, the Constitution requires a census. There are 435 congressmen. They divide the population by 435. That's approximately how many people each congressman represents. And then they divide and draw the lines. It'll be very important how they draw the lines. In New York State, all of our legislatures up for re-election. Every senator, every assemblyman. The governor is not, unfortunately. But everyone else. And Congress, it's all of the House of Representatives and one-third of the senators. So it's going to be a very important, and then, of course, the President of the United States, a very important election. But I want you to know our hope is not in the outcome of the election. As important as it is, that's not where our hope needs to be. America needs to turn back to God. And unless America turns back to God, we're in trouble as a nation. America needs a national revival. Now, I've been preaching that for a lot of years, so you know that. Let's think for a couple minutes. What's been God doing during this year? Well, number one, I believe God has been warning the world of judgment to come. Things that we took for granted were suddenly taken away from us. The freedom to go out for dinner. The freedom to go to school. The freedom to go to school or even work, to watch a ball game. A lot of the things that we've just kind of assumed we could do suddenly in March were not available to us. A lot of us felt like we were prisoners in our own home. Why? Well, God got rid of all the distractions. And the church was outside the building, but it wasn't really closed. Through technology, people started tuning in, and I'm amazed at the reports I heard of people, pastors saying, we have 2 times, 3 times, 5 times, 10 times more people watching our services than ever attended. People that wouldn't darken the door of our church are tuning into our broadcast. I believe God is at work warning people of judgment to come. Now, why should there be judgment? Jesus said in Luke, in the Sermon on the Mount, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, in the days of the coming of man. What was it like in Noah's day? Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. God saw the wickedness of man, that every imagination of his heart was only wickedness continually. Think about that. The internet, that is a great benefit to us, can also be a curse. The rise in pornography has been horrible. One of the good news things that's happening, but it also has a bad news connotation, is the U.S. Marshal Services have been rescuing missing children. 72 children were rescued, some that were destined for sex trafficking in 2 states. Just this week, this last week, 13 more missing children were found in Michigan. Many of them, all under 17. The youngest that I've heard of was age 6. Now, that's a horrible thing to think that that goes on in our country. People don't understand when they talk about slavery as a thing of the past. That's modern slavery. And it's a horrible thing to do to a child. Jesus talked about offending a little one. It would be better for a person who did so to have a millstone tied around his neck and be thrown in the deepest part of the sea. I think there's a special place in hell for a person who misuses a child like that. But listen, that's going on in our country. That stuff is happening in America. And it has to do with the imagination. We are living in a wicked time. Timothy warned us of the last days, and Paul warned us in Timothy, rather, this know in the last days, perilous times, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, lovers of things, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unholy, unthankful, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, and you read the list under pleasure, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Number one, the problem is misplaced love. Lovers of self, lovers of things, covetous, and lovers of pleasure. That's America, 2020. God's shaking that up. That's what's happening. It's all being shaken. Nahum tells us that the Lord is slow to anger and great power, and will not acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and the storm. The clouds are the dust of his feet. Our God is still on the throne. And he's warning the world. He's warning the world, repent before it's too late. What's he doing for the church? Well, I believe he's waking up the church. In the book of Romans, the Word of God says, that's a chapter on government, it says it is not high time to awake, because now is our redemption nearer than it was when we first believed. Jesus Christ is coming back, and I think part of what happened is the church has been called to awaken. Vance Havner was a Southern Baptist evangelist. He once was asked about the condition of churches, and he said, our churches are sound asleep. I'm afraid he's right about that. Now, part of what these events of 2020 should have done is wake us up. We need to wake up, shape up, and clean up. That's what we're called to do. How do we do that? Well, the Word of God says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12, verse 21. We are called to be salt and light. I've shared that with you before. Salt delays decay. That's the main purpose in New Testament day. It simply slows down the decay. You and I, in our culture, are supposed to slow down the decay. And how do we do that? Well, by speaking the truth in love. You and I need to speak the truth, but we need to do it in love. Truth without love can be brutal. Love without truth is just sentimental. We need a balance of the two. Our culture is running away from the truth and embracing lies, and we need to call them back to the truth. But we also need to demonstrate the love of Christ that's been shed abroad in our own hearts. And then light. We are the light of the world. This world is groping in darkness. We need to be the light of the world. Light dispels the darkness. Light gives direction. You and I need to be examples of the believers in our community, in our workplace, in our schools. We need to set the tone and the difference. We need to show the truth, demonstrate the truth, and express the truth in love. Are you being light? Now, I think I've done this with you before, but do you remember the song, This Little Light of Mine? Let's sing that together, okay? Get your little finger up there. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Come on. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. I won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Listen, there are a lot of needy people out there that need your light to shine. They're groping in darkness. They're scared. You have the truth. There's a God in heaven who loves them so much. He sent his son to die on the cross for their sins. And if they'll just believe in him, they can have the assurance of eternal life. They don't need to be afraid of dying anymore. Because for us, to die is gain. Let it shine. Let it shine. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
God is good, huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, we used to sing those songs, I remember, right? They were the old Christian contemporary songs we sang to wake us up. But as Tom says, you know, the church needs to wake up. So you're here. You know, you're here. You come. The question is, are we awake? Are we alive? That's why, you know, next Saturday we'll be simulcasting here what is called a return. The issue isn't so much who's speaking, who's there, what's going on in Washington. The issue is what's going on in your heart. And that's why we need to arise. You need to examine your heart right now, because as Tom has shown us so clearly, this country is in trouble. Now, you might not think so. You might not think it's in trouble. I mean, after all, you know, we look around, you know, we still have prosperity here. Things are still looking good, but yet we're in trouble. Because the soul of our country is being sold out. And so if you're not awake and if you don't see what's going on, there's a time now to come back, and that would be next Saturday, as we listen and pray and consider our own heart and say, where am I in all of this and what am I doing? Am I doing anything at all? Or am I just watching the country fall into darkness, great darkness? And so if you're the light already, that's wonderful, and that's a great thing. You still need to come and be part of what's going on. If not, and if you feel you're out there, maybe it's time for you to come back and return to God. And so, again, we're thankful for our brother's message. As always, you know, he challenges us in the face of all that's happening. And that's the issue. Are you being challenged? And so here we are. You need to consider the things he said. And if they are striking at the heart of your heart, then you need to do something about it. You know, God loves us. God has called us. And you have purpose in this life. Again, you need to find your purpose and then find and fulfill your destiny. You know, these words that are spoken, Hollywood likes to address them. You know, Luke, you need to find your destiny, Luke. No, Luke, you need to find Jesus first, you know, like we all do. And then you can find your destiny in him. Your identity isn't in what you have, what you are, what you've made, your school, your reputation, your prestige. Your identity needs to be found in Jesus and him alone. And we need to remember that. So we're going to end right now. Again, we have a basket up here if you want to help Arise Ministries. They're here. I would remind you, we have a baptism tonight. Baptisms are always, they're always a celebratory service, one of joy, great joy. And so, again, if you're not doing anything tonight, please come out. We like to support one another here. And so come. And I know we have a lot of candidates, more than I expected coming. And so, again, why don't you come on down and join us so you can hear the testimonies and once again encourage those who have been saved now and are going to get baptized. Encourage them in their walk. That's why we come. That's why we all come together as a body. Father, again, as always, what could we say? We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We stand before you this day, people who realize that we are no longer what we were or who we are. We are now new creations in Christ. We thank you that as a new creation, we have a new work. New priorities you've given us. And so we thank you. We ask you to bless Tom and Barbara, their ministry, Arise Ministries. Again, you continue to keep Tom healthy, keep him strengthful, that he might continue to proclaim the good news. We thank you now, as always, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.